Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we started a series that I've called the Big Rocks series. If you were here, you know why we call it Big Rocks. If you weren't here, rather than give you the whole story, let me just put it this way. In your life, you want to make sure that you have the major priorities in place. That's what we call the Big Rocks. If those things don't go down first in your life, you may never get them to fit into your life. And so over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the big issues of how we live as Christians. They're not primarily theological issues. They're more practical in things we need to put into place in our lives. Now, today, I want to talk to you about the subject of baptism. Now, right off the bat, I have to tell you that if you didn't ask this question, I did. Baptism, is it really a big rock? I mean, is it? Yeah, as a Baptist pastor, maybe I would say this is important. But as a Christian, should we put the issue and the subject of baptism as an important issue? Well, hopefully, by the time we're done today, you will have answered that question for yourself. But I understand if you're a little bit wary of the question. But my hope, and one of the reasons I'm really glad that the teens are here, is I really want to make a case for any of you who've not been baptized to seriously consider why it's important for you to do that. And if you have been baptized, to understand why it's important for you to understand its importance and encourage others and pray for them as they consider that. But I know that right off the bat in asking that, you may say, okay, again, he's got to be preaching on this because he's a Baptist pastor, and it's a big deal for him, but not for me. I would tell you that I didn't grow up as a Baptist. I grew up in non-denominational churches and came to realize that what I understood the Bible to teach was in keeping with what Baptists believed, and that's how I became a Baptist pastor. It wasn't one influenced the other. But whether that makes any sense to you or not, let me just put it this way. Is baptism a big rock? I realize it may not be for you. You may be here today and you think, well, this is interesting, I'm curious, but I've never really thought about whether I should get baptized. Well, let me just start with the Bible. It's not a bad place to go. I would tell you that whether baptism is a big rock for you, whether it's a major priority in your life, all that important to you, it was important to Jesus. Now, why do I say that? Think about Jesus' life. The major events that we as a church, as a Christian church, not just Baptist church, celebrate about Jesus' life are Christmas and Easter. Christmas celebrates Jesus' birth, and Easter, obviously, his death and ultimate resurrection. Those are two key big events in Jesus' life. There are other aspects of Jesus' life that we celebrate, but as a church, almost every Christian celebrates those things. It's interesting, having said that, that as you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus' birth is only recorded in two of the Gospels. So Matthew mentions it, and Luke mentions it, but Mark and John do not. I'm already conceding it's an important event, and we celebrate it. But you know that Jesus' baptism is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You think just the fact that it's mentioned as much as it is would say that the baptism is important. And it's probably important for me to just to say right off the bat that when I'm talking about baptism, I'm primarily talking about baptism of people who are believers in Jesus Christ. And I'll explain that as we go along, but just so you understand, I'm not talking about infant baptism, though we call that baptism. As you read through the New Testament, the baptism that was practiced in the New Testament was baptism of people who had placed their faith in Jesus. So I'm thinking of not necessarily adults, but people who are old enough to make a decision for themselves. Not a decision that your parents made for you or someone else encouraged you to do when you were too little to decide it for yourself. Baptism in the Bible is something that individuals decide. So for Jesus, all four of the Gospels, start his ministry really at his baptism. And they end his ministry with the command of baptism. At least Matthew does. Matthew 28, Jesus' last words to his disciples were, "Go and make disciples and baptize them." So for Jesus, we have to at least say that the baptism was important enough that he got baptized and important enough that he commanded baptism, and it was important enough that all four of the Gospels mentioned it. And we'd all have to say, as we think about Jesus' baptism, he didn't get baptized to become a Christian. He was the Christian. He was Christ. But he thought it was important. So that at least makes us wonder, is it really a big rock? Is it very important? Well, let me give you another reason it's important. As you read through the book of Acts, Acts records for us the history of the early church. And consistently in the early church, when people placed their faith in Christ, they got baptized. You really don't find any exceptions to that. Remember Acts chapter 2, kind of the beginning of the church? Peter preaches this great sermon in Jerusalem, and after he preaches, the people are kind of cut to the heart, and they go to Peter, and they say, "Peter, what must we do?" And Peter says, "Believe and be baptized." Then a little bit later on in Acts chapter 8, Philip takes this good news to the people of Samaria, and as he preaches to them, he commands them, "You need to get baptized." And then the very next chapter, the Apostle Paul is converted, and he goes to this man by the name of Ananias and needs some instructions to what he should do. And you know what Ananias tells him? You should get baptized. And as you go through the book, get to Acts chapter 16, you have what happens in Philippi. There is a woman by the name of Lydia, and she comes to faith in Jesus and starts a church. And the first thing she does is she gets baptized. And same place, Philippi, there's this jailer that Paul and Silas share their faith with. And as soon as he comes to faith, he gets baptized. And he invites Paul and Silas to his home, and they share the good news with his family. And guess what? They get baptized. The point, hopefully, is clear that consistently in the New Testament, when people come to faith, they get baptized. They demonstrate that faith in the act of baptism. So whether it's important to us, whether it's a big rock in our lives or not, we have to say it was important enough that Jesus not only did it, but it was recorded in all the Gospels. It's important enough that there's no exception that I know of in the New Testament where someone comes to faith. In fact, there is one exception. And that is the thief on the cross. And I guess we can excuse him since he was not quite able to get away to get baptized. But that's the only person I know of in all of the scripture, all the New Testament, who believes and doesn't get baptized. So it's important. Important to Jesus, important to early church. And here's an interesting one if you're not familiar with it. It was important in church history. Some of you have heard, if you've been in our newcomers class, some of this I share because we talk about baptism in the 101 seminar. But back in 1525 in the city of Zurich, there were a group of people who came to the conviction, contrary to what was the standard understanding of the day, that God had called a church that was not part of society. If you lived in Zurich in 1525, the church and the state were one and the same. You were born into Zurich, and you went to church, and you were baptized in the church, and every citizen had been baptized as an infant. There was no separation of church and state. But there was a group of people who came to the conviction that as they read through the New Testament talked about people who were unique, who identified themselves with Christ in a way that they weren't just like everybody else in society, but they were willing to stand up for Jesus and be identified with him, and that was the church. And so this group of people believed that they needed to be baptized as an expression of that. They became known as Anabaptists. Ana meaning, it's a prefix meaning do it again. So they were rebaptized. They had, everybody in Zurich was baptized as an infant, but they came to the conviction they needed to be rebaptized as a personal expression of their conviction that they were connected to Jesus Christ. So that was what they decided to do. Well, as often is the case when people go against society's norms, that was not very well looked upon in Zurich. So in January of 1525, January 21st, the heart of winter, Conrad Grebel and Felix Manz, the two leaders of this group, took a group of people down to the lake. And they were baptized in this lake in January in Zurich. They were convinced this was important stuff. I think just the temperature alone would have kept me out of the water, but they did it. And they did it with the understanding that this was not acceptable to the rest of society in Zurich. In fact, the word came down that from the government in Zurich that if these Anabaptists continued this practice of rebaptizing, that those who were guilty would be executed. And you know how they decided to execute them? By drowning. They figure, you want a little water? We'll give you some water. Well, again, I'm telling you baptism's important, but I wouldn't probably go in the icy water, and I definitely would have a hard time dying for my conviction. But these people in 1526 went down to the water and were baptized, and the Zurich leaders executed Felix Manz, one of their leaders, for his rebellion. He was drowned. Now, again, I don't know that we would say baptism's that big a rock for us, but it was for them. They thought, this is really important. So you say, okay, so it was important to them, but why was it important? Are you saying that you can't be a Christian unless you're baptized? Well, no. You could point out to me verses like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no mention of baptism in there, just belief. Or how about Romans 4:5? To the one who does not work but believes in God, believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Faith is counted as righteousness. There's no mention of baptism. Or how about Ephesians 2:8-9? For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. There aren't works involved. I'm not suggesting that baptism is something you do to earn your salvation. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, just to add one more thing to it, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and if you remember the story what was going on in Corinth, you remember that there was all sorts of divisions in the church in Corinth, And Paul says in the midst of that in chapter 1, he says, I'm thankful that I didn't baptize any of you because all these people were identifying with their favorite leader. And if Paul had baptized them, they might say, okay, I was baptized into Paul and I'm a follower of Paul. And actually, as Paul reflects on it, he said, well, I did baptize a couple of you, but nobody else. He said, God has called me to preach the gospel and not to baptize. So there's a difference between the good news about Jesus and the act of baptism. So I want to be clear, though it seems apparent to me as we've looked at the example of Jesus, the example of the early church, the example of church history, baptism was definitely important, but it wasn't essential for salvation. The problem is we extrapolate from that and say, well, if it's not essential for salvation, then it's not essential. And the Bible doesn't do that. Let me just give you a couple other verses. Again, if you've been in the newcomers class, I go through these verses because they're important ones. Acts 2:38, that's at the end of that sermon that Paul preaches. Peter preaches at Pentecost. And people have been convicted. And they want to know what they're supposed to do. And Peter says, believe and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, we just went through a bunch of verses that said you don't have to be baptized to have your sins forgiven. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. But when people ask Peter what they're supposed to do, he says, believe and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Okay? There is a connection. We like to disconnect them because we are so convinced salvation is by faith alone. But there's a connection to baptism that we need to understand. Then with the Apostle Paul, I mentioned in Acts chapter 9, his story of his conversion is told. Well, he retells that in Acts chapter 22. And in chapter 22, he says that Ananias, when he shared the good news with him, he then challenged him. He said, get up and be baptized, washing away your sin, calling on the name of Christ. So, the first thing Ananias tells the Apostle Paul to do is to get up and be baptized. So, what is this? What is the connection? Well, let me give you one other rather confusing verse, and that's 1 Peter 3, verse 21. And we're not going to totally unpack it, but I'll just turn there just because it certainly says something about the importance of baptism. It says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, what these verses at least say to me is there is a connection between our faith in Christ and the act of baptism. For those of you who were raised in a different tradition, maybe you were sprinkled as a baby, or maybe you came to faith and were never challenged or encouraged to get baptized. These verses ought to at least make you ask, why is there this connection? And what is the connection? And does it apply to me? Because there is a definite overlap between people wanting to make a profession of faith and this act of baptism. Let me see if I can explain what that is. First of all, let me just be clear. What I'm not saying is that baptism's not necessary to be saved. I want to be clear about that because there's nothing that we can do to add to what Christ has already done for us on the cross. But again, the tendency is for us to say, so therefore baptism isn't important. But the Bible doesn't say that, so we shouldn't say that. Baptism is important, and this is why. Baptism is a symbol. Let me have you turn, this is where I'd like to spend a few minutes, to Romans chapter 6. Sometimes in the 101 seminar, when we talk about baptism, I point this out, but understanding the symbolism of baptism helps us understand its importance. Here's the analogy I like to make. Think about wedding rings. A few of you know this, not many, but a few of you know this, that back when our son Carl was married in August of this year, as he and Joanna were standing up here pledging their vows to each other, as couples do, they had the exchange of rings. What most people couldn't see, that only a few of us standing up here could see, was that Joanna had forgotten her ring for Carl. So, what's that? Her maid of honor. Joanna wouldn't do that, but her maid of honor did. I don't want to get into family problems here. So, as I called for the ring, I looked and I thought, there is no ring. But they had the presence of mind to act like there was a ring. So if you were here for that ceremony and you thought, yeah, they put a ring on the finger, they pretended to put a ring on Carl's finger. Now, I didn't hesitate when it came to that, to pronounce them husband and wife, say, except for one thing. Carl's not wearing a ring, so they're not really married. Now, their marriage was legitimate because they were pledging their lives to each other. They'd gone through the legal process and they were going through the religious ceremony. So before the law and before the church, they were married. But the ring matters. I mean, think about it. If Carl then refused to ever wear a ring, or refused to wear a ring when he was around single women, or somehow spurned this ring. There is, it's just a symbol of being married, but the symbol has value. As soon as they got out, before they even had a chance to get out the door, the maid of honor had run upstairs, gotten the ring, and he wore it, and to my knowledge, has been pretty faithful in wearing it since then. But it's a helpful description of how baptism works. If you love Jesus and you're a follower of Jesus, why wouldn't you wear his ring? Why wouldn't you do the thing that identifies you publicly with him? Why wouldn't you let the world know that you are following through in your commitment by doing what he asked you to do? Baptism is a symbol. Romans chapter 6 gives us the picture of what that symbolizes. It says, Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection." See, this picture of baptism, especially this baptism that is the baptism that was practiced in the New Testament. It was part of the Jewish tradition, the mikvah, of going in the water, of being put under the water. It is immersion. And there is, in that picture, dying to who you were and being raised again to a new life. Because that's the picture of salvation. when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not the person you used to be anymore. You died to that person. And when you come out of the water, that pictures what has happened within you. You're a changed person. You're not the way you used to be, so you don't live life the way you used to live it. And the picture of baptism is the biblical ring that identifies us with what Christ has done. So, baptism, it is. It's just a symbol. But it's an important symbol. It's as important as being willing to let people know, I'm married, I'm wearing the ring. I want the world to know whose I am and what I've done. So, this is what I'm trying to say. As I understand it, from everything I've said to you today, baptism is a big rock. I'm talking about it now, not because I'm saying it's the most important thing you can do as a Christian. I'm saying it because last week, I would say the biggest rock, the most important rock of all, is what we talked about last week, and that is you have to start with a relationship with God. And nothing else matters. If you don't know Jesus, realize He died for you and He rose again and you've placed your faith in Him. That's the first and most important rock. We mentioned that last week. And that's where it starts. I only mention baptism second, not because it's the second most important thing we'll talk about, but because it's so connected to the first. That if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you've never put on the ring, you need to consider it. I thought about this and I prayed about it, and any of you who've been in our church for very long know that I'm not pushy about the subject of baptism, because this isn't about me. It's about you and your relationship with God. But I don't think I'm being fair to you as your pastor to just say, so it doesn't matter, because it is. It's a big rock. And it's one that if you haven't put into place in your life, you really should. Now, I know some of you come from different traditions, and you've decided because of that tradition, you're very comfortable showing up for worship here, but you aren't ready to get baptized. I don't want you to get baptized because Pastor Tori preached on it, or because it would make me happy, or whatever. That's absolutely the wrong reason to consider it. But if you have committed your life to Jesus Christ, the biblical instruction is believe and be baptized. Because in that sense, baptism is the public expression of this commitment. I think so often in our privatized Christianity, we put the focus on a personal commitment. So I remember when I was a teenager, we used to, I was part of a group in our high school called Campus Crusade for Christ. And every now and then we would go down to the malls, and we were, as part of this religious organization, we would take surveys. And the surveys really were a means to share our faith with people. And the goal was, through the survey process, we can tell people about Jesus and some people might come to faith. So when it's all said and done, we would ask, how many people did you talk to? Did any people make a commitment to Christ? And usually by that, what we meant was, did anybody pray a prayer? Now, I can tell you as a person taking the surveys that we pushed people to pray this prayer. Because it looked, quite honestly, it looked good, you know, for me to be able to say, oh, I had three people pray with me. Three people made commitments of their lives to Christ. Now, I look back on that and think I didn't do those people a great service by doing that. I mean, they needed to make the commitment. But I guess that the majority of times that I pushed for that, they prayed just to get this guy out of their hair. You know how it is when you have a salesman, you just don't want to deal with them. I felt like I was a salesman, and they just wanted to do whatever it would could be done to get rid of me. So a prayer can be a very private thing. So private that people do it, and then there's no real reality to it. But baptism is a much more public thing. It says to the world, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, just like a wedding where two people publicly profess their faith and love in each other, and they tell the world, we love each other. We're going to live with each other from now on. That's what baptism is about. It's not this little private, personal thing you have with God. It's a public thing that you're part of. So baptism is a big rock. It is important. And it's important for the many of you I know who have not done that. Again, I don't want anybody to be motivated by guilt or for you to feel like you can't talk to me afterwards. I will love you the same however you respond. My concern is, if it is a big rock and you haven't put it in place in your life, then I'm not doing you any favors by just letting you skate. So practically, let me tell you what this means. Some of you who are parents who have never been baptized, I think you should consider being baptized. Again, not because I say it, but prayerfully consider what I've been saying. Look at the scriptures that we've talked about. Look at Jesus' example and Paul's example and read through the book of Acts and see if you aren't convinced that baptism is a public declaration of this personal faith that you have. Why do I start with you as parents? Because if you as parents don't do it, how can I ever expect that your kids will do it? You know, it's one of those do as I say, not as I do kind of things. If it doesn't matter to you, then it's not going to matter to anybody else. And whether you have kids or not, if you are an adult in this church, your example speaks. So I start with you as adults and say, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have never been baptized, you should do it. My hope is this summer we will plan a baptism. We can do them here inside, but in the summertime we have frequently done them outside, and it can be a great celebration. I don't have it on the schedule yet, but I'd be happy to talk to you about that. Some of you who are teenagers, I know that it's easy in your teenage years to run hot and cold for God. That's true for us as adults too. But there's something about putting your flag in the ground and saying, I stand for something. I stand for someone. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, baptism is a great opportunity to take your stand. Simply said, baptism is important. And I want to encourage those of you who've never considered it to consider it, not because it's a Baptist thing or it's a Pastor Tory thing, but because you are convinced as you read through the Bible that it's something God wants you to do as a declaration of this personal faith you have. I'm convinced if it's something that God moves in your heart, it will not only benefit you, but it will benefit our church as well. So prayerfully consider it and let God guide you in that process. But if we're going to be the people God wants us to be, we have to put the big rocks in first. So prayerfully consider if this is something God would move you to do in response. And I'd be happy to talk to you today or throughout the week or whenever if you're interested in learning more about it. Let's pray together. Lord God, you know my heart. I genuinely want to challenge each person here. But I pray you would give them the freedom to not respond to me, but to seriously do business with you. Whatever you choose to do through these words, you will be honored if we make our decisions before you. But Lord, I pray that as a church, we would get the foundations built in our lives and start with the big rocks. Help us to understand this particular one and what we need to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name.